Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday PM, July 1st, 2012.
For our golden text from 2 Corinthians tonight, turn with me to the 6th chapter. And our text will be the 2nd verse of the 6th chapter. For he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." In order to fully understand this quotation, why the apostle quoted this particular passage from Isaiah, let us consider the whole context, which begins with the 20th verse of the 5th chapter. "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For, he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The former verses we treated of last week, but now we need to consider them in conjunction with our text for today, for we find herein two different appeals that the apostle makes. First, in verse 20, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." The King James Version says, "We beseech you." Both beseech and implore are very strong words. And one, I think, is Professor Wiest, translates it, "Now I implore, I beg of you, please." So it is a very strong appeal. And as we observed last time, this is an plea to the world, to the people of the world, to the sinners, that God is already reconciled himself to the world in Christ. But now remains for the people in the world to reconcile themselves with God. In order for God's blessing to be on them, for them to become his children, they have to accept his offer of grace. And this is what Paul implores. This is the gospel message to those in the world. Be ye reconciled to God. This second appeal is in the first verse of the 6th chapter. "Working together with him, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain." And this is his very strong appeal to believers. You see, there were people still in Corinth, though many and the great number had repented, who still were resisting the apostle in his message, who were denying his authority, and who were determined that they would have their say. And they were the ones especially to whom he addressed all of his admonitions in 1 Corinthians. But what does it mean to receive the grace of God in vain? Another way of putting it is We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God to no avail or to no purpose. Everyone who becomes a child of God has received God's grace. And God's grace was not granted just to keep us out of hell. God's grace was given to us to perfect us in Christ. And in, as Paul wrote unto Titus, in that well-known passage, we see what he means by not receiving the grace of God in vain. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So this is Paul's appeal to Christians for Christian living. And it is a very strong appeal. And he quotes from the prophet Isaiah to make his point. At first, it may not seem clear what the connection is. So let us read that passage in Isaiah, which is in the 49th chapter of Isaiah in verse 8. But to see what Isaiah meant, we'll begin with the first verse. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed thee from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He said, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, and that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised and abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes and they shall prostrate themselves, because the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages. This passage is very plainly speaking of the Christ, our Lord Jesus, and of his ministry on earth. When he went about doing good, healing all who were possessed of the devil. And in a time of favor, I have answered you. In a day of salvation, I have helped you. And the time of Jesus' ministry and of the apostles' ministry was a time of favor of God on Israel. For the desperate battles and wars with the Syrians had passed with the Roman conquest of the East, and there was a time of peace called, historians call it, the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. And it was a time when most of the empire was joined by very fine roads for those days. Otherwise, Paul would not have been able to travel as he did. But it was a time of blessing upon Israel, especially during Jesus' ministry, when he did go about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, and even continue for a decade or so following his resurrection during the ministry of the apostles. But as time went on and the rulers and then the nation turned against the believers, the storm clouds began to gather and times became more desperate until there was the war with Rome, and the Jewish wealth, commonwealth, and their whole land and nation were destroyed, and the people were scattered among the nations. But that was a time well favored of the Lord. So turning back to our text in Corinthians, Paul uses this text in his appeal to them. He says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The apostle takes this scripture addressed to the Christ, describing his ministry, and he uses a general principle and applies it to his ministry, the time of his ministry, and to his declaration of the gospel among the Gentiles as a time favored of God for salvation. And it is a very urgent appeal to them, for behold now is repeated, and it is a very strong expression. And he is applying this, that the favorable time for those who heard the gospel had arrived. Those who had not heard it when Jesus was on earth, but they were granted the time of God's favor here. The A.T. Robertson said that this word favorable was a word coined by Paul. He formed it by adding two prepositions and to another word, and he said it meant in a well-favored time offered by God. It was not, the King James says, the acceptable time, and both translations are included in Paul's expression. The time was acceptable, not to us. It didn't matter whether we would accept it or not. It was acceptable to God. It was acceptable to him to extend his grace to sinners. And it was a favorable time and a day of salvation. Now, Webster's first definition of the word salvation is deliverance. And this is the general meaning of the word throughout the Old Testament and also throughout the New Testament. When we were saved, as we put it, the other meaning is also true, we were delivered. We were delivered from the power of sin. We were delivered from thraldom to sin. We were delivered from the prince of darkness and translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So wherever you read this word salvation, you can also read it as deliverance. And this is very much to the point of Paul's quotation here, that this was their time. This was their day of salvation when God was favorably extending his grace to them, to these Gentiles to whom Paul was called to carry the gospel, to the Jews that he met who had not had the privilege of knowing of the life and ministry of Jesus and of the apostles' ministry in the Holy Land. But he says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the favorable time. And this is a very strong appeal, repeated, emphasizing the word now. And this now is the day of deliverance. Now, this is addressed to believers, just as the other appeal was addressed to sinners. Now is the day of deliverance. And he had written 1 Corinthians to correct all that was wrong in that assembly, to put the judgment of the gospel upon those who were insisting that it didn't matter how one lived, God's grace was free to all, and they had fallen to the trap of trying to reconcile their heathen philosophy with the Christian gospel, because the heathen philosophy of that day was material matter is evil, spiritual matter is good. Our bodies are material, and therefore they are evil. And so it doesn't matter about the body. It's only the spiritual life within. And the deeds of the body don't affect that. That is what Paul is correcting throughout the Corinthian letters. And here he says, in a well-favored time I listened to you. That is, God had granted them his grace, and he had granted to them salvation and all the blessings of salvation. But then this is the day of deliverance. Deliverance for believers. Deliverance from believers for all of the sins of the past and for the sins of the present. Deliverance from everything displeasing to God and to our becoming what he wants us to be. Now is the favorable time. This was their favorable time, and by extension, this is our favorable time, because we always live in the now. Yet the past is gone and never to return. Tomorrow never comes. So we always live in the now. So for everyone who hears the gospel message, it is their day of salvation, their day of deliverance, deliverance from sin, deliverance from themselves, deliverance from everything that would hinder their enjoying the blessings of the gospel and becoming what God intended for us to become. The past is gone, and yet we are a part of it. There is some truth to saying that we need to address the past so we can get past it. On the other hand, there is truth in saying we should forget those things that are in the past. The past is gone, and yet it is very present in us. We are the sum total of all of the years of our past, and there are things to remember, things that we should remember, things that we should often remember, and as we should follow Paul's admonition in Philippians, where he said, if there's anything lovely, if there's anything good, if there's anything of a good report, and all of those things that are blessed, we should spend our time thinking on those things and those things from the past. And yes, there are things to forget. The sins of the past that have been forgiven should be forgotten. The hurts of the past that the Lord wants to heal, we should forget. And we should leave them behind us and not bring them forth as baggage into the present. It is true that the past is gone and that it cannot be altered. There is a constant effort on the part of politicians and especially of tyrants to rewrite history. There have been many attempts in many places for people to rewrite history to where it says more what they would like for it to say. But history cannot be rewritten. And every attempt to do so has turned out to be a fraud. So the past cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. But here is the message of the gospel. Here is the now of this well-favored moment of our time. The effects of the facts of the past can indeed be changed. And they are changed for all who will walk after the Spirit and who will mortify the deeds of the flesh, who will not fall for that trap that grace covers our sins and it doesn't matter how we live. A brother, one who had been saved for many decades, once said, I heard him say it, there is no need for any Christian to ever repent of anything. We've already done that. And Christ's blood covers our future sins as well as our past, so we don't have to worry about it. Well, that just isn't what the gospel says. That isn't what the apostle says either. But the facts of the past, the effects of the facts of the past can be changed. And if we will walk with him, they can be turned into blessings for him to bless us and others. And tomorrow never comes. I remember when I was just a lad hearing my father say that. Tomorrow never comes. I said, Dad, of course tomorrow comes. No, it doesn't, he said. I said, well, this is Monday. And tomorrow's Tuesday, and it's going to be here tomorrow. He says, no, it won't be. When Tuesday comes, it won't be tomorrow. It'll be today. And I had a tough time getting that around my young noodle. But it's true. Tomorrow never comes. And also regarding the future. The future is not yet here. Someday often becomes never. Intentions not performed, plans not done, never come in a someday. As I mentioned before recently, I have many someday books that I've accumulated over decades. They're sitting on my shelf unread. I'm doing my best in the now, today, to read them. I don't know if I'll get the job done or not. But we always live in the now. Someday is never. Just like with those to whom Paul wrote, this is our day. Now is the day for us to do whatever we're going to do. Now is the time to live for God. Now is the time to become what he wants us to become, because it is always today. And today is all we have. The Romans had a saying, time flies. And I think we all of us have experienced that fact. For too quickly yesterday, today becomes yesterday. And too quickly, time flies, as the song from the Fiddler on the Roof, "Turn around, turn around." Opportunities passed, but today is the accepted time. Today is the day of God's good favor toward us, for us to do His will, for us to live His life, and for us to become what He wants us to become. Now is the accepted time. It is the time for us to accept the now. It is time for us to accept the well-favored opportunities of the present. So Paul beseeched the Corinthians not to receive the grace of God in vain, but God's grace in our life, yielded to, will be quickened by the Holy Spirit to make us what He wants us to be.